Hello, and thank you for joining us on the Cisco Leadership Podcast, a platform where we chat with our senior leaders in an energizing conversation around leadership and personal growth. Today's guest is Bill Cohut, Cisco's Senior Vice President leading U.S. Commercial. Bill and his team of more than 2,000 field resources across the U.S. are responsible for growing and transforming a diverse group of accounts, ranging from SMB to Fortune 1000 companies, contributing to $6 billion in annual sales. With more than 21 years of sales and leadership experience, Bill brings a proven record of success. And with that, let's jump into it. Hi, Bill. Welcome to the podcast, and thank you for joining us today.
Hi, Lori. Thanks for having me. Super excited to be here. This is my first podcast.
Well, welcome. So tell me, how are you?
I'm doing great. My family's great. My oldest is actually getting married this year, so super exciting from a personal standpoint. Business has been pretty strong, Lori. You're probably feeling that out there. But it's also been a strain. It's been difficult in many ways. Don't need to tell you this, but we've all been dealing with the pandemic at Cisco and in technology companies. And I think in our everyday life, we've been dealing with these supply chain issues that are vexing. And now we have this war in Ukraine, which is really heartbreaking. So in many ways, I'm doing really well. In other ways, it's been really a difficult couple of years.
Yeah, we're all feeling that at this point. I think you nailed it. So diving into the questions that we have prepared for today. It has been 2 years since you stepped into your role. And leading in general is very challenging, requires a lot of courage, focus, a growth mindset, a willingness to achieve your full potential. You've led through the dot-com bubble, the Great Recession, and now the COVID pandemic. So can you start by telling us how leading through these times has been for you and how you handle these challenges?
Yeah, well, the pandemic's been challenging for all of us. Let's just put that out there. But for some people, it's been certainly a lot more challenging, I think, and gut-wrenching in many ways. Think about people with little kids. I've had a lot of conversations with people at Cisco, and it's been really difficult, particularly in the beginning of the pandemic and trying to homeschool and all that. You have people that have elderly parents that they're caring for at home. You got people living in poverty. You've got people in service industries like restaurants and hotels and people with pre-existing healthcare conditions. It's been really, really hard over these last couple of years. And it's really, it's brought it home for me, particularly in the last year. My sister, who I'm extremely close to, has a life-altering health issue. So my leadership really starts with perspective that I personally have a lot really to be grateful for. And even my sister, with all that's been going on with her, she really starts from a position of gratitude. So despite being a people person, where the pandemic's really felt really isolating for me personally, I've also really thought about what I'm grateful for. I've spent a lot more time with my wife. I've spent a lot more time with my children during the, you know, during the pandemic than pre-pandemic. I spent a lot more time with my team on video, so I get to see them every day. So albeit it's video, it's not in person, but in the past, my team that I worked with every day, it was normally on a cell phone. It was in an airport or that sort of thing. So I feel like that I've really gotten to know my team in many ways better than I would have in a pre-pandemic world. And we work for Cisco, which I think has been great to work for during the pandemic, really taking a people first approach to it. And I've been really grateful for that. My biggest challenge, just to get back to your kind of question, what's the biggest challenge as a sales leader? It's really about trying to get the balance correct. I believe sales is a process. It's a craft. You have things like activities that drive pipeline, that drive bookings. You need to be good at things like negotiation. And similar to Olympic athletes, you have to work that process every day. And even Michael Phelps doesn't want to get into that cold pool at 6 a.m. every morning. He needs somebody to be pushing him to go do that. And so striking that balance of like really having a desire as a sales leader to push people, but also know that there's these other things that are going on that are really affecting people's lives. And so you have to strike that balance. That's probably been the most challenging thing for me as a sales leader. So I've really tried to just stick to the basics. And so bring three things I feel like are really important if you're a good leader. And I think they've been really core to me during the pandemic. Lead with a lot of authenticity. Be transparent. Be really clear on what the vision is and the why and the how. And then empathy. I think all really great leaders have a high degree of empathy. at the end of the day, people will really respond if they understand that you genuinely care about them and you have their back. And that's really, I've tried to bring those attributes to my leadership style always, but certainly during the pandemic.
That everything that you said right there hits true to home. I can just imagine my life and our listeners and how we've changed over the past 2 years. And you make that point of jumping into the water. As a child, I joined the swim team and they woke us up very early and told us to jump into the pool and swim laps. And I made a lap down halfway back. And I said, yeah, this is not what I want to do. It's a struggle. And as a young child, you can make those decisions, but then as an adult, you're forced to with the responsibilities that we take on. So, I appreciate that response. I think it's going to gel with a lot of our listeners.
Well, Lori, that comment from you brings home a lot of memories. My mother was big in, like, I have a sister, like I said, it's me and my sister. You had to learn how to swim because she wanted us to be safe around water. And then
Yes.
once we went through all these swimming lessons, then it was about joining the swim team. And I was a very skinny kid, and the pool water was very cold. I did not last long. I complained a lot, and I said, I cannot do this.
Yeah, it's been my stubbornness that has kind of taken me through. I knew what I wanted. That was not what I wanted, so we moved on. But with that, so how have you been building yourself both personally and professionally with regards to principles, values, mindset, or even routines that have been key to your success?
Well, first, I wanted to start by saying I feel a lot of awe and some envy for people that are really structured in terms of how they do self-improvement. And if that works for you, obviously keep doing it. But I also want people to know that if their approach is a little bit more asymmetrical, that's okay too. Because for me, it's personally taken a long time for me to be okay. Like, I'm a little bit more unstructured in how I approach that. And that's okay too, as long as I'm getting better every day. I really try to keep it simple, set some goals. Things I want to achieve in a given period of time, maybe a fiscal year or a calendar year, skills I want to either get better at or acquire. A couple of actions I do really routinely is I talk to my board of directors. They may say I talk to them too much. I like to talk about things. And so they're experts in different things, and I'll call them and bounce stuff off them and have them be a sounding board to me. And then I read. I am a big reader. I like to read a lot. I typically read three newspapers a day, four if you count the sports section of the Boston Globe, which I usually get to every day. So I start my day off usually 30 minutes of really reading newspapers, really skimming them during the week. It's my little luxury during the weekends to actually really truly read them. During the week, it's 30 minutes of just quick skim of the key things that are going on either from a business perspective or here in the US or maybe globally.
So, what are some of those books that you've been reading, content that you view, or key aspirations that have been life-changing for you that you recommend for our audience?
Yeah, a couple of things. I'm so embarrassed about the lack of books. I've been probably reading maybe half a dozen books a year. My kids are reading like 24, 30 books a year. They've been outpacing me. And so we've had a few, not contests, maybe kind of personal contests. I haven't been able to read even a book a month. A couple of things I've gone back to more recently. The ELT has been working with Jeffrey Moore. He wrote a book probably 5 or 6 years ago called Zone to Win. So I went back and read that. It's really about kind of how you may want to structure the business and prioritize. It's really good. So the ELT has been using that. That's certainly a good read. Then I went back and skimmed Crossing the Chasm because that was my first Jeffrey Moore book. I think it was the first book he read, and it was really important to me in terms of my career in technology. So I went back and skimmed that recently. For fun, I read a book called Running for Life by Lopez Lomong, which is about the lost boy of the Sudan. He comes to the U.S. He's a runner. Runs in the Olympics, really kind of cool, inspiring book. And then a couple people, like three or four people recently, said that I should read the book Breathe. I don't know if you've read it or heard about it. Sounds
I
really cool.
haven't.
A gentleman by the name of James Nestor wrote it. And so I'm gonna read. I've downloaded it, but I haven't started that book. But that's my next one I'm gonna tackle.
So, are there other influences or key inspirations in your life that have been impactful?
Lori, some people have heard this story. I didn't have any sales or sales leadership people in my life when I was growing up, but both my parents were social workers, and I loved to go to the dinner table and listen to their stories. And I guess it rubbed off on me. They were both servants, and I modeled my leadership after them. Their job was to maximize their clients' potential. And my firm belief as a leader My job is to maximize my team's potential. The cool thing is at Cisco, we get to do that with some really, really high functioning people. So our job, I think, fundamentally as leaders, is to make ourselves and our people better every day. And I think that gets down to servant leadership. And I certainly got that from my parents.
I appreciate you sharing that. Our parents can have an incredible influence in our lives. So tell me, what is something that you wish you had known earlier in your journey?
You know, a couple things come to mind. One is, I think early, at any time in your career, but certainly early in your career, I would definitely say take more risks, right? The value of trying new things, whether you succeed or you fail, you're going to grow the most when you're trying new things, you're trying difficult things. Again, whether you succeed or fail, I felt like I did a decent job on that, but I would probably do more of it. And I think just life gets in the way sometimes. You get married, you have kids, or you have different responsibilities, you get older. Take some risk early in your career. I think it'd be really valuable. And then the second thing is just to have true sponsors. None of us get anywhere worth going without having true sponsors, without having people support us. And I wouldn't be in this chair if it wasn't for a host of different people. You know, to name a couple, Jerry McAvee, Lynn Doherty, just to name a few, really important in helping me make really leaps during different periods of my career. So I have true sponsorship. I know everybody talks about they've got mentors. It's good to have mentors. I'd have a bunch. I have a kind of a board of directors approach, but then a few people that are going to really help you get to where you need to be in your career, whatever that means at that point in time.
When you say board of directors approach, are these individuals that you have assigned? Is it your team, your direct reports? Is it your direct leadership? How do you define who those individuals are?
It's no one that's in my, no one that I report to or reports to me really on my board of directors, but they're people internal to Cisco and external to Cisco that are experts in different areas that I've met and formed relationships over the years that are okay with me pinging them about ideas and thoughts and giving me advice on things that they're an expert in. And so they're like mentors, but I'd say it's a bit of a collection of mentors across different subject matter areas. And I talk to them and bounce ideas off of them when I'm trying to make decisions or think through different, you know, where I want to take the business and that sort of thing, or where I want to take my career. Or maybe I've got a decision to make on do I go left or right, and I'll bounce it off them and then take that information, synthesize it, and then go make a decision.
And since our lives are so intertwined now, both personally and professionally, with this work from home, if you had to look back to your earlier self or tell your earlier self something, either with your family, spend more time with your family, vacation more, professionally, hey, here's what I learned that maybe you should have considered early on in career, what would you tell your earlier self?
I think it's what I said. I would take even more risk. I would try new things. I would put differentiated activities on my resume, right? I'd be willing to take more risk. Maybe that is geographic risk, right? Where I would move. I did a little bit of that. I grew up in New Hampshire. I moved to New York City to take a sales job. So that for me was a big risk. I was married. I had a child at the time. I would do even more of that and take some maybe jobs that are non-linear. I think at Cisco, we tend to go, I'm going to be an AM, then I'm going to be an RM, then I'm going to be an OD and so forth. And I think there's other things that could round you out as a person and round you out as a leader. Yeah, and then definitely spending more time, I think, with our family and friends is important. And sometimes work gets in the way. And I think creating that balance, I would have liked to have done that. I have three daughters. I actually was not in the technology game. I was just out of college when I got married and had a baby. I was actually attending bar. Some people have heard these stories. And so I had a really different.
I have
had a
not.
Different,
I
had different, you haven't heard those stories? Yeah. Well, I had a different. I had different hours, obviously, when you're attending bar, mainly working at night. So I spent a lot of time with my oldest kid, which I really enjoyed. And, you know, then I got a job that was more, it was in the business world, in sales. And so my two other kids, I've probably spent less time with them when they were really, really small. And so I think you can never get those years back. Can never spend enough time with your kids, your wife, your spouse, you know, the friends, the people that are important for you. You only go around this world once.
Yeah. Michio, you mentioned your daughter's getting married. Look at your grandkids and how you'll approach their life.
I can't wait
I look
to
at
have
my parents
grandkids.
And yeah, well, it's easy because you get to spend that time and spoil them and enjoy them and then send them back home.
Yeah, I think you get to do two things. I actually always talk about that part, like spin them up and send them back to their parents. But there's also, there's probably some things. I mean, so I know some people say, oh, they don't have any regrets. They wouldn't do anything differently. But there's always some things you probably do differently. You're probably a better parent towards the end of your parent journey than at the beginning. And so as a grandparent, you get kind of a redo. And so I think there's a lot of life lessons and other things that you just gain with age and experience that hopefully you can pass on to your grandkids, and you can wind them up, and you get to send them home at the end of the day. So I'm looking forward to it. All of my kids, by the
Oh,
way,
hey,
say, by
today
the way,
were
Lori,
cookies.
all my kids say, and particularly the one getting married, that's not in my near-term future, by the way, but I'm looking forward to it whenever it happens.
Well, eventually, someday, hopefully, you'll get to have that experience because, from what I've been told, it's very fun. So we have a couple minutes left, and we have one more question that we like to ask all of our guests, and that is, what is the one question you would have loved for us to ask you today that we have not asked?
That is a really good question. I think it's important for leaders and salespeople and all of us, right, to show up as our best selves every day. And so it's a really good question. I think the question that maybe I would have liked to have been asked is like, how do you show up as your best self every day? And for me, it's about recovery time. It's like going to the gym. The time in the gym is important, but the recovery time is important. So for me personally, for me to show up as my best self every day, it's about recharging the batteries. I love spending time with my family and friends. It energizes me. I have a close group of friends, some of which I've had almost 50 years. We've hung out. They keep me grounded. It's important that I spend time with them, and it really energizes me. And then I like being outdoors. I like spending time outdoors. So golfing, hiking, skiing, going to the beach. So combining family time, friend time, outdoor activities, that energizes me. When I do that, I show up as my best self, as my best leader every day. So I try to do that. Sometimes work gets in the way and it gets a little unbalanced. And I try to kind of get myself recentered, and that really has been helpful.
I think that is one of the best questions that we should maybe add into our Rolodex of questions that we start asking future guests, because that is hugely important how we show up to work or how we show up to our personal life or wherever that may be. So I appreciate you mentioning that.
Even in work,
Bill,
Lori. Oh, sorry.
yeah.
I just saying, even in
Go
work, I
ahead.
mean, some people really like to be, I would call it almost overscheduled, and sometimes you just have to be, right? There's projects you got to get done, there's people you got to meet with. But Victoria and I are always talking about, hey, can you carve out some think time, right? I've had three really intense meetings, and then I need to process that information to be able to make good decisions. It's important that you carve out that time. It's important for me that I also spend time outside of work, as we just talked about. But even within your work life, you have to have some like white space time to go think through complex issues, to be able to make the decisions that are going to be important as a leader or an AM or an SA.
Yeah, I think that podcasts have been great. They have boomed over the past couple of years, so that's how I try to fill my time. I might take like 15 minutes here and there to either it's something that I've enjoyed that will help me within my personal life or my professional life, but it helps me kind of reset or reevaluate or think of the situation from a different light. So
Yep.
I agree with you 100%. Well, Bill, thank you again for joining us today. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Well, Lori, thank you for A, inviting me, and then B, making it so easy to get through my first podcast. I've really enjoyed it. Hope you have as
You're
well.
welcome. Yes, thank you again. You are welcome anytime. It's been a pleasure.
Awesome. Have a good day.
Thanks. You do the same.